fellow Freedom fans, back with the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm talking about these issues of what are the powers of government. You hear national health care, things like that. People are getting into the weeds discussing the pragmatism with regard to how much money is being spent, how much is it going to cost us, how much is somebody going to be taxed, things like that. What I did today, I made a mistake of reading the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution, where it says what Congress's powers are. And they have the ability to basically exercise exclusive jurisdiction over Washington, D.C., or those areas where the states have given over some property for forts and buildings or whatever they're going to do is give over to the United States to carry out some of their functions that are listed in Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. It is possible, conceivably, that they would have exclusive jurisdiction to bring in universal health care, single payer, dual payer, triple payer, whatever they are, with regard to something that has to do with Washington, D.C., or forts, or I guess by implication, conquered territories, maybe Afghanistan or whatever. If they, you know what I'm saying? If they've got something in their purview that they can do, they can interfere with whatever anybody does within those zones. I see nothing in this Constitution that gives the federal government, Congress, the executive departments, anything, any authority whatsoever to regulate your contract with an insurance company or your contract with a doctor. And the scary thing is what's happening is there's going to be a natural interference in your life when this whole strange program that I don't see any authority in law to do actually starts becoming operational in spite of its lack of authority. That's a little bit creepy to me, but that's what's going on. Number here is 888-850-1872. So I don't see anything here in Article 1, Section 8 that could justify it. In fact, you see they have the authority to establish post roads and post offices. You're paying for stamps, 43-cent stamp or whatever like that, I guess is an excise tax that you would pay for the United States moving your mail from place to place. Now, they're not putting stimulus money into making sure that there is a good postal service. They're not doing that. They're cutting back because I guess there's the cost involved and they can't keep up. They don't have enough money to spend to keep the post offices running the way they have been. But of course, they're borrowing money from the Federal Reserve Bank or putting themselves in debt to the Federal Reserve Bank and stimulating a few people's opportunity to buy a automobile. I did some looking today. And what I'm trying to do is I was looking for what the numbers are. I was trying to get the accountability. How many people have actually gotten money? How many cars could you be purchasing? They say a $3,500 rebate or a $4,500 rebate. That averages to $4,000 of rebate, depending on the purchaser, to get turn a clunker into cash somehow to subsidize a purchase of a brand new car. I guess that keeps the price of the brand new cars up, keeps that competition down, but the goal is, I guess, somehow to get rid of those cars with a big carbon footprint or something like that. So it's cash for clunkers. Well, I don't see any authority in the United States Constitution to do such a thing. So I would challenge, I tried to find a dealer who's not participating. And I did a search on the internet. Probably when you do keywords, it's not the first thing that's going to come up. Who, because of conscience sake, is refusing to participate in cash for clunkers? Guess what? They're going to go buy a car from somebody else. So that's an example of what might happen with this healthcare thing. Hey, those of you guys who don't give a hoot about the role of government and the functional constitutional boundaries of government, if you will just ignore what the founding fathers wanted for this nation, if you would do, which is essentially sedition. Okay, so you're going to undermine the role of government and them taking more power than they ought to. And then, of course, they're going to use, there's going to be a motive to exercise the power of the sword later to collect money from people that even maybe ways that aren't even constitutional. Who knows? That the ends justifies the means kind of thing, right? So if you're willing to forsake your conscience and participate in this cash for clunkers as a dealer, then you're going to have sales. But those of you who will not forsake your conscience, well, good luck selling a car. The natural market forces, your car will essentially be more expensive to people, even though you're selling it for less. See how this works, this martial law, socialist, totalitarian state? It's going in that direction. We've got to just edge forward little at a time. So those of you who, because of conscience sake, will not participate in that program as a dealer, you will sell your cars for less, and they won't buy it from you because they're getting a subsidy to make it seem as if they're paying less ultimately for the car. Now, who is ultimately going to pay the $4,000? I did a little math. And in this article I found, I should have gone back to that article because I just took it away from my eyeballs. But what I did is I tried to find, here's the numbers. It says, a Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood said Sunday that the government would release electronic records about the program. President Barack Obama has pledged greater transparency for his administration, period. And this, they started the next sentence with a conjunction. But the Transportation Department, comma, which has collected details on about 157,000 rebate requests, won't release sales data that dealers provided showing how much U.S. car manufacturers are benefiting from the $1 billion initially pumped into the program. Well, okay, there's 157,000 rebate requests. You know what I still don't know? How many rebates out of the $1 billion are actually happening? What does it equate to? At the very best, it looks like that your $4,000 on average rebate is costing $6,369 of taxpayer money if it's a full 157,000 rebates that are actually being paid. But that's rebate requests. What if only 100,000 of those are being paid? How much money of that $1 billion is actually part of the $4,000 rebate thing? How much is the administration? What other strange industry, administrative government industry, is being stimulated by this stimulus for cash for clunkers? Who knows what's going to come out? Part of the principle here is ultimately, in the best case scenario, one out of 675 people in America will take advantage of buying a car. Now, do you have the money to go out and buy a brand new car right now? How would you like to get 675 of your neighbors to chip in so that you can gratify your desires for a brand new car? Wouldn't it be nice if you could get 675 people to benevolently give you money? What if maybe you could get your little mafia guys to walk around the neighborhood with place a little coercion on some of your neighbors and collect enough money so that you can go out and buy a car? Of course, they're going to get part of it, aren't they? You'll get $4,000 and they'll get at least $2,375 out of the deal. $2,369 out of the deal. But isn't it nice to be able to have these guys who will go around the neighborhood and you are a very select few who are going to get the benefit of this program? Now, that's just something that occurred to me, simple-minded guy that I am, that's sort of what's going on. And again, are we thinking about the pragmatic personal gratification? Are we thinking on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, right versus wrong? I know that's why I'm here. I keep saying it every day. I'm trying to basically, I don't want to be a voice of one crying in the wilderness. If we don't influence people to really come out of this insanity, this strange morphing of the American mind into this chaotic blob, what do we expect? What do we expect? When they implemented the Tanaka Plan, Phase 3, and they attacked Pearl Harbor, what did they expect? Was August 6th, 1945, Hiroshima, anniversary, what was that? It was 55 plus 9, 64 years ago. What did they expect? So if we're going to be insane, what's going to come back? What goes around comes around. What's going to go on? What happened to Stalinist Russia? What happened to Stalinist Soviet Union, Stalinist totalitarian Leninist conformed to the communist norm economy. It fell apart. It absolutely fell apart. And they're still not prospering. 53% of women who become pregnant in Russia, the current statistic is, this is celebrated by those who would like to keep the population of the globe down, 53% of those who become pregnant in Russia right now are killing their babies. That's sick. Now, what are they to expect to come their way? This, okay, so you hear me say this stuff before. The number here is 888-850-1872. A little trivial thing. So I've reviewed the Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution, can find nowhere where they have a stimulus package for automobiles. Nothing in there. Maybe in Washington, D.C. or on federal forts or something like that, but nothing that they have the ability to, you know, basically take the power of taxation to stimulate an auto industry or a dealership industry or the gratification of those who would like a brand new car when they grow up. I mean, if I were in the power right now of buying an automobile, if it was what I had on my list of things to do right now, I would not participate in the stimulus program. It'll run out. I'd either just say, well, I'll just wait until this thing's over. I just don't even want to, or I might even go buy one from somebody who, if I could find somebody who's not participating in the stimulus package thing. That's where I would buy my car. But I'm a nut. I'm an extremist. I've got a conscience. So, you know, we're trying to do that. If America loses its conscience, folks, the home of the free and the brave, you can forget it. But most people aren't concerned about their posterity. They're not really concerned about their grandchildren or how happy their grandchildren will be when their grandchildren are well taken care of in a land that is moral and free and right and has a foundation in law and practice that protects them from the oppression of a bunch of lunatics. So it's kind of strange. Now, I will get in, because I meant to do this, I'm going to talk about the issues with regard to Afghanistan, because you know, there's Americans, men dying overseas. Now, is it a right thing? Is it a wrong thing? Is it justified? It's something that's constitutional. Congress has the power to do the certain things, to raise funds for a certain activity. The president has certain authority to do some things. And they relate to what's happening in Afghanistan right now. Do you know what's going on in Afghanistan? Is your public will going to be persuaded to bring those guys home? Or is your public will being persuaded to send more people there? How about when they go there? Who do they kill? Are they nice to the locals, or do they just blow them all away? You don't even know what's going on. It's hard. I've had to been digging to find out what's going on in Afghanistan. It's not something that you are really aware of. You're being distracted by extra constitutional activities of stimulus. You're being stimulated. That's what's happening, is they're agitating you. They're stimulating you. So you really won't. It's just what's happening, folks. So my call is that we all come out of the pandemic of dementia that's sweeping North America, and that, you know what? You could have a revolution today that would be lawful, a lawful revolution. Congress, you know, those people only serve for 2 years. You could have about 500 people that show up in Congress next year, that just show up and actually change everything in a vote. You could do that. You could do that. It's very possible. Now, it'd be nice if we knew what we ought to think and we held the Congress accountable to what they ought to be thinking. If we would do that, we've got to do our homework. That's what we're here to help you to do here on Liberty Works Radio Network. Our commitment is to get things back to the reference that's right, and to discuss it and to keep bringing it up, because there's not going to be a lot of people doing that for you right now. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network. Keep tuning in. We shall be back in a minute. Check out our website, faithfreedoms.org.